So we've come to this lesson on forgiveness, and it's really one that's it's so needful for everyone. And so I'm glad to be able to have this time together anyway. So to be able to do this together on forgiveness is actually, I think it's ordered of the Lord. It's good that way. So let's get started. I want to give just a little bit of an overview on this before we get into it too much. But God has bestowed forgiveness. Okay, I have some more up here. If anybody, sorry. All right. Who else needs one? Y'all need one back here. There we go. Anyone else? Another one over there. Oh, okay, you got to give one back then. You cannot have extras. Just kidding. Anybody else? You got one? Anybody else need one? Going once? Going twice? Okay, well, there will be more to sell. So here's the thing. God has bestowed forgiveness upon us, even though it's completely undeserved. Amen? I mean, that's the thing I want us to realize, and obviously we realize that we're here for Sunday school. We understand this, but I want us to really understand this thing. God has given us forgiveness. He's given forgiveness to us, even though there's nothing about us that deserves it. And here's the thing. Yet within our relationships with one another, with other people, we often struggle to forgive others. Amen? It's a really big deal. Forgiveness is kind of one of the biggest deals among humanity. And so unforgiveness cripples us. It makes us ineffective for in our service for the Lord. I want to ask a question this morning, and this is not a rhetorical question. I want you to give some answers. Why should we forgive those that hurt us? Why? Okay, because the other person doesn't feel your anger. Okay, why else? Okay, God tells us to. It's healthier for you. Okay, now a lady. Got to go back and forth.
It makes you sick, makes the other person sick possibly, and it doesn't get anything accomplished.
Right, doesn't resolve anything.
It's a toxic situation.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Good. Y'all gave good answers, and you kind of figured, you know, some of y'all said was going in the right direction I was wanting you to, and then others went and messed up my punchline. In this lesson, which is good, it's a good thing. I'm being a little facetious. Why do we want to, why forgive? Why forgive? Ephesians chapter 4, I think you have that there in front of you. If you look at the bottom of that, we're going to read through the whole thing in just a minute, but verse 32, up in that beginning text, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, what does it say there? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So the things that we're saying about what this side of the room we're saying versus that side are all exactly what it is. Unforgiveness in us affects us. It messes with us. It hurts us. It eats at us. It does all these things. And yes, we ought to forgive but mainly because God said so. Because God said to do it. And that's, I want to get into that thought a little bit this morning. Lord willing, we get further in there. I want to look at how God wants us to handle hurts. And we're going to see the grace He offers to us to forgive others. Okay, let's start with this passage. I want to get, can somebody read that for us, please? Ephesians 4, 26 through 32. It's a long one. Who wants to do that? All right, Miss Liz.
Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun Son go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Amen. Thank you. So men have been learning through this series that one of the most important qualities of a structure is the what? The foundation. The foundation. And so we've talked a little bit about this particular house here on the ocean. They went and built these 14-foot posts to build their house up on with... Spent a lot of, I mean, when I say 14 foot, they're 14 foot elevated above the ground, and then they had to go down to build. Very expensive. That's not cheap. Building on the dirt with maybe a slab is a lot cheaper, but a lot of expense, a lot of effort, a lot of time to put in there to build this house up there and look ridiculous and have to take steps every time you go home. Right? Why would you do so much work, so much effort, so much to go through to build your house up like that? Well, you do it because when the storm comes, you're going to be the only one left, right? And these are real pictures. These aren't pretend. These are real pictures. And when you build your life on a foundation, and it does cost us a little bit extra. It does cost us extra to go into building foundational things. It costs us extra. It's things that we can't necessarily see, and it gives a lot of extra effort, but it's for a purpose. It's to establish us. And so our lives are designed to need a solid foundation. God's created us that way. We need a solid foundation. So deep inside of all of us, where no one else sees except for you and God, are those areas that matter the most. And this is what I want us to understand. When we talk about building below the baseline, I've done this lesson for men, but it's not a men's lesson, right? It's ladies need the same thing. We all building below the baseline is building in our lives that area where. Where nobody sees but you and God. And that's where you do that work in your heart, where God's doing that work in your heart and in your life to establish something so that what comes out of your life is what people see has already been established. If we wait, if the only thing we work on is what people see, we're going to be very shallow people. And we're going to be to ourselves people. You ever afraid of talking because you think people are going to find out more about you? Right? If you're like this, like, man, I just don't want to talk. I'm just kind of nervous if people find out about... Listen, that's a problem. You need to change who you are if you're worried people are going to find out who you are, and that's going to be embarrassing. Right? God's trying to do a work on you. So in this lesson, we'll be discussing an area essential to a strong Christian life as well as to strong relationships one with another, and that's this thing of forgiveness. So all of us are going to have times when we are going to be hurt by others. That's going to happen. You ever been hurt by somebody? Four of us. Okay. Yeah. Is anybody's arm hurt? Okay. All right. What we do with the hurt will determine if we are strengthening our foundation or weakening it. We're either got a jackhammer, right, busting up our own foundation, or we're building upon that. So, here's a question. Why should we forgive those that hurt us? Why should we forgive those that hurt us? Because they didn't mean to. They didn't mean to. Right? That's why we should forgive them. Right? We should forgive them because hurt, you know, being angry hurts us more than it hurts them. It's, we talk about unforgiveness is the cancer that eats us up. It's like taking poison, hoping it hurts someone else, right? All these kind of things, this type of stuff. You heard these kind of. So why should we forgive those that hurt us? Because God said so. That's it, right? It goes back to our relationship with Him. Okay, so bitterness is one of the greatest hidden sins that will hinder your relationship with God. No, I didn't say hinder your relationship with each other. Will hinder your relationship with God. Bitterness hinders our relationship with God. I want you to get that in your head, right? When I'm bitter at, not, well, I've never been bitter at God. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about just being bitter. When we're bitter, we end up, it hinders our relationship with God. But it also hinders our relationship with family members, with other Christians, and also with unsaved people. There's unsaved people. Unsaved people are the worst. They are the worst. They're unsaved. They don't love God. They don't play Christian music. Right? They come by in your car. You know, like, I mean, they're out there, you got your windows up and you're just like, your body is like, you know, you're just, what is going on? And I just remember, okay, that was me when I was 16, but you know, this is like a 40 or 50 year old man. You know, he didn't get to do it when he was 16. And you're just like, every thump of the bass, you're just kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Unsaved people are the worst. Now, I'm glad I wasn't ever like that. Except for we all were. Right? So, but on the other hand, forgiveness is one of the greatest restorers of relationships and brings freedom to the Christian who builds below the baseline in his life. It's a restorer. You ever got a crack in your foundation, in your property or something like that? So I'll tell you, we can get cracks in our foundation. You know what we'll do? We'll get out that jackhammer before we think about. Because our first reaction, we're going to get to this. Sometimes our first reaction isn't the best one. Is that fair to say? Sometimes our first reaction is the one we regret. And so what we've done is we got out that jackhammer and somebody's over there saying, don't do it, don't do it. And they're trying to pull the cord and you realize it's not a cord, it's a power thing. You know, anyway, and so you're already busting up the foundation. You're like, I don't care because you're out of your mind. You know what I'm saying? And then once you calm down, oops. You know how quick that can be? That can be like 3 minutes later. And you're like, the damage is done. It's over. I've ruined everything. No. Forgiveness will restore it. Now, can I completely remove those cracked foundations? No, I can't completely remove it, but I'm telling you, we can restore it. And if we'll let God do it, God will restore it. Sometimes He'll strengthen it better than it was before. Like, so should we just go and do this a little bit? No. Because there's still a lot of damage that takes place. So I want to give you an illustration. This is in my book. I didn't make this up. I didn't know this was here ahead of time. I don't go ahead on this. But the illustration is of a fellow by the name of Jim and his wife, Elizabeth Elliott. Remember them? I don't know if y'all heard. Remember them? We talked about them last Sunday night. Missionaries to a primitive tribal people known as the Aka Indians. Just talked about this Sunday night. After a seemingly friendly first contact with several of the Indians, Jim and four other missionaries were speared to death. And to many people's surprise, Elizabeth and her 10-month-old daughter returned to live with the tribe and eventually won many Aka people to Christ. People often ask Elizabeth how she could forgive those who murdered her husband. Speaking of her response, Elizabeth said, "To the world at large, this was a sad waste of 5 young lives. But God has His plan and purpose in all things. The prayers of the widows themselves are for the Aukas. We look forward to the day when these savages will join us in Christian praise." That sounds easy to get to that place. From your husband being murdered through with a spear to praying for them to join you in singing praises unto Christ. There could be a few cracks between there, right? You understand? This kind of response, though, that Elizabeth Elliot had was only possible because she had built forgiveness, what? Below the baseline. She had already built this in her life. Yeah. I don't understand.
Miss Elliot.
Yes, Elizabeth Elliot.
Had a child, and the man that killed her husband was sitting on the log.
Oh, okay.
So the baby of hers, boy.
Okay, and they thought that was the dad because of their relationship. Okay, I missed that part that was the man that killed. Yeah, so their relationship. And I've seen video footage very much later, and there was a great relationship there. Something was built in her life below the baseline before this incident happened. If you wait for something to happen and then afterwards you're trying to figure it out, it's a lot harder. It's a lot harder then. Relationships in Christian homes and churches are often destroyed because of someone who nurtured an unforgiving spirit. You've done something. That thing Jonathan did to me, I just, you know what I do? You know what I want to do? I want to hold on to it. Because he shouldn't have done it. And it was terrible. He did it on purpose. I know he did. I know he's apologized like 10 times. But I know, by the way, nothing happened. I'm just using him as an illustration. Y'all are like, what happened? No, I'm just making, I know he can handle it. And you know, this thing happened, he apologized like 10 times, but I know he did it on purpose, right? You ever been like that? We're like, we know what they did and why they did it. And so I'm not going to forgive him, because if I forgive him, I'm going to release him from the terrible thing he did to me. Because I'm better than that. Right? Destroys that unforgiving, nurtures that unforgiving spirit. So although we often deny that there is anything amiss, we can see the unforgiveness building in our lives when we avoid someone. We'll avoid them. We gossip against them. And we remove ourselves from fellowship with another person. You know what? I just can't handle David, so I'm just not going to be around him. What he did, I just can't be around him. He just... So the only way for it to work with me is if I just avoid him. Right? That's okay. That's a good spirit, right? See how we do that? But you know what we could do? We could really justify it's just better for me if I'm not around them. It's a problem, isn't it? It's a problem. And we want to correct things with having something below the baseline. What happens is our foundation is cracked. And we want to leave it that way, is what's going on there. And so we don't forgive. We don't forgive because forgiving isn't easy. Forgiving's difficult. Can I say this? We don't forgive because it's easy. We forgive because it's the Lord's will. Okay? I don't forgive somebody because it's the easiest thing to do. Now, can I tell you honestly, we know this, folks. Forgiving people, man, doesn't it just take a this huge, you know, it's like been on you and you're walking around with this and you forgive them and you get it off and you're like, man, I wish I'd have done that earlier. And, you know, you give a hug or whatever and it's all over, or a handshake, whatever it is. And you're like, man, I'm glad we got over that. And, man, I wish I'd have done that. I hear about family, parents and children, or, you know, this kind of thing, or this, and over years and years and years, and finally one day they do it, and then there's this beaming, man, I wish you'd have done that years ago. And then there's people over there looking at it like, yeah, told you that, right? I don't want to be a told you so, but I'm going to be a told you so, right? We do it because God said it's the Lord's will. Whether or not, listen, folks, whether or not you're currently struggling with bitterness, maybe some of you right now are already thinking about this in your life, and you're not thinking about in the past, you're thinking about right now somebody. Maybe God has already brought somebody in your mind right now that you're thinking about, and maybe it's the person sitting next to you. Right? Y'all like, maybe it's somebody that's not here. Maybe it's somebody that should be sitting next to you. And you're thinking about this bitterness that's going on in your life. Now, others are sitting here trying to think real hard, man, should I be thinking, who am I, should I? Yeah. Sometimes I hear preachers say stuff like this, and all of a sudden I'm like, ooh, am I just missing it? You know, right? And you're thinking, am I missing it? Is there somebody I'm supposed to be? Who should I hate? You know, who should I be? What's going on here? Listen, whether you're currently struggling with bitterness right now, all of us will have times when people hurt us. Okay, we're going to have times when people hurt us. It's at these times, it's for these times that we must build forgiveness below the baseline. We've got to build that and have a part of our life ahead of time, not waiting for it to get there and then say, okay, now I got to think about this. No, forgiveness ought to be so much something we're building and preparing and thinking about and ready for that when someone does hurt us, I'm ready to forgive them. I don't have to get ready. I'm already ready because it's something I built in my life. It's part of my spiritual package now that when that happens, I'm already ready for it. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 through 32, what we read, God gives us a pattern to help us deal with the hurts of life with the forgiving spirit. So that's what we're going to look at through this here. Four specific ways that we can respond to forgiveness. Now, number one, here's this. Reject Satan's temptation. Reject Satan's temptation. Okay, what do we do when someone's hurt us? Well, the first thing we do, okay, when I'm saying what do we do when somebody hurts us, I'm not saying what do we usually do. I'm saying what's the pattern that we should do. Okay, y'all with me? The first thing that we do is determine what we won't do. And that is yield to Satan's temptation. First thing I'm going to do, I'm not going to yield to Satan's temptation. What we're going to look at here, this is the how-to manual of forgiveness. Right here, what in this in here in Ephesians chapter 6. The how-to manual of forgiveness. Forgiveness is hard, isn't it? It just, something gets in us, and it just hurts so bad. So we're going to look at this how-to manual of forgiveness. So the devil has many darts and arrows that he'll shoot at us. He's like Robin Hood, but a really bad one, right? He's got these darts and arrows that he's going to shoot at us. I want you to think about this with me this morning when I... This I really want to build up to this thought this morning is this. Forgiveness isn't really about another person. Forgiveness really isn't about another person. It's really between me and God. Forgiveness isn't between me and Jonathan. It's between me and God. Yeah, but he's the one that did it. No, I can't go with that. Because I'm under a different situation. I have set my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to follow Him. Did Jesus ever forgive people? Do you remember when He was up there? I don't know if you remember about this story. He was up there. They put Him on a cross. Y'all remember that? Yeah. Anybody heard about that one? And they had beat Him. Whipped Him, beat Him, put a thorn and mocked Him and took off His clothes and ridiculed Him. He's up there. And what did they say to those people? Father? Man, I mean, I'm sure it was an easy time to forgive them. They didn't mean it. No, they absolutely meant it. Now, they didn't know what they were doing, but He says it. So when I'm saying forgiveness isn't about you and someone else, it's about your relationship with God. And this is what, when we get our head wrapped around here, what we're going to do is we're going to be building below the baseline on this thing of forgiveness. Because you're going to find this. Listen, one of Satan's favorite arrows is the arrow of a hurt spirit. Hurt spirit. It is our most, rather, let me say it this way. In our most vulnerable moments of pain, Satan tempts us to respond in a most unhelpful way. Okay? When we're hurt, would somebody hurt? Are people going to hurt us?
Yeah.
Accidentally. People accidentally hurt us. How often does that happen? It could happen on any occasion. Somebody could accidentally hurt us. What about this? Somebody could purposefully hurt us. Vengeance-wise. People do that stuff. What kind of people? What's wrong with people? I don't know what's wrong with people. But people do hurt us. And when we're hurt, I want you to get this. Being hurt is when Satan... Can you kind of just see Satan sitting over here in this nice, comfy chair? Sorry, people, y'all can't see me over there, but I'm in a nice comfy chair. And he's sitting there, and he's just watching. I don't think he's smiling, though. I think he's mad. He's just looking. Brother John, this is a pretty comfy chair, isn't it? Yeah, it's pretty comfy. And I don't think his chair is that. Maybe he's sitting on something hard. He should. And he's sitting there waiting, and he sees you hurt. You have a hurt spirit. Somebody hurts you. And Satan says, woohoo! Yes! That's what I'm waiting for. And Satan swoops in. I don't mean him himself, but maybe one of his demons, one of his fallen angels. You say, does it really work like that? The Bible sure leads us to believe that's how it works, exactly like that. And he's looking at you. He's waiting for you to get hurt. And then Satan comes in and begins to tempt us. A. To sin in anger. Okay? To sin in anger. As A. Ephesians 4:26, it says, be ye angry and what?
Sin not.
So when that moment of hurt comes, our natural reaction is to respond in anger. Which is sin. Yeah, you're right. Don't be responding in sin. No, in anger. We get angry. Somebody says something to us. We get our voices get loud and we get our face turned red and we don't breathe. We just say something. You know, right? You ever been there? Yeah. And we start saying stuff before our mind even engages. Our lips are going. Tongues are wagging. Where stuff is going on. And it's going. And listen. I'm going to be Satan for a little bit. Satan's over there. Right? I don't think Satan feels like he won. I think it's just awesome for him. You say, why do you think it's like that? I think we just see this kind of thing in the scriptures. Satan is, he's out there. I don't know how much of a game it is. I think that's his role, is to and he gets it as soon as we get hurt and we go off. I don't know if it's like Looney Tunes where there's a devil and an angel on our shoulders, kind of in our ear, but it comes by. You shouldn't have put up with it. Don't let him talk to you like that. Don't take that. He shouldn't say that to you. You should be mad about that. You should say something to him. No, don't let it go. Say that. And so you're going and you're like, is that the devil or is that just me thinking through my head? Yeah. Yeah. And we're just going and going. Satan's temptation. You don't deserve to be hurt. You don't deserve that. You're better than that. How dare they treat you like that? You don't deserve it. Who do they think you are? You don't have to put up with that. And so we start pumping up how great we are now, right? That's really awesome. That's really going to get us into the mind of Christ. And this is kind of how to sin and anger. And so when that time our reaction is anger, and this response only adds damage. We got James chapter 1 verse 20. Can someone read that for us, please? So, the wrath of man, so in anger, isn't going to work righteousness of God, right? We're not saying, well, sometimes I just get angry and I just need to, what? Vent. I just need to vent. I needed to do that. Do you though? Is that the word of God speaking, or is that the word of me speaking? I just feel better after I vent. Does a fire feel better after it burns down a house? I don't know. Does a fire feel? But there's destruction in its wake. But as long as you feel better, that's what's needed. Isn't that dumb? Isn't that a dumb way of thinking? I just needed to vent. I don't think so. I don't think you needed to as much as you or I. And when I say you, I'm in that same boat with you. We're in this boat together, okay? Not one of us gets out of this thing. We're all in this thing together. We just got to figure out how to navigate it, okay? So it is true that there are some instances when anger is righteous, okay? Let's go there. Even Jesus demonstrated anger at times. Mark chapter 3, 5. Let's have a lady read that one. Go ahead.
And when he had looked round about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other.
Yeah, he was angry. Jesus was angry on them, being grieved because of the hardness of their hearts. Jesus' anger, however, was always perfectly directed at sin. And it caused him to uphold righteousness. Right? Not angry at a person, but angry at the sin and upholding righteousness. He was not angry because somebody violated his personal rights. In fact, he freely yielded his rights. Somebody read for us there, Isaiah, a man, a fellow, read Isaiah 53, 7. Jesus Christ surrendered his rights. He wasn't sitting here thinking about how I've been hurt, I've been assaulted, I've been afflicted. Folks, I'm telling you, when somebody hurts us, they're going to hurt us. People are going to hurt us. And you know what else is going to happen? We're going to hurt other people. Right? And when that happens, our first inclination ought not be to get here to say, poor me. I don't deserve this. Maybe that's true. Probably is true. So what? How you like that? Pastor, I wish you'd be a little more compassionate with me. How about we just be like Jesus? Hey, I want to help you. I want to help you with this. I want to help you not destroy your own foundation. Because this isn't a helpful thing for us, folks. We think it is. We think if I just blow up and get things, man, the remediation of our explosions is long. When you blow up in front of people, sometimes we can never recover that, or we never will recover it. It's just not. Jesus said this, when all this was hurt on him, he opened not his mouth, is what Isaiah is talking about, prophesying about the future. There's a Bible commentator by the name of Matthew Henry. He said this. He said, if we would be angry and not sin, we must be angry at nothing but sin. And we should be more jealous for the glory of God than for any interest or reputation of our own. See what we're building below the baseline? What we're building in this foundation isn't about me. It's really changing the way we think. When somebody hurts us, my first thing, by the way, is that okay that people hurt us? Absolutely not. Absolutely. Don't misunderstand here. Absolutely not. It's not okay when somebody hurts us. By the way, it's not okay when we hurt other people. Not okay. But what's going to happen here is when we get to this place, we get our thinking strapped around this thing, I'm going to be angry at the sin, not angry at the people. And not angry for what they did to me, but for the glory of God. It's really a different thinking, isn't it? It's not human nature. It's a little bit different. Our problem, by the way, that's the kind of anger which Jesus displayed, is that one at that. So our problem with anger is that it usually leads us toward what? Sin. When wrongfully angered, a man or woman will often do things that they never thought possible for them to do. Right? The reason for this is that our anger is usually self-centered. So we're angry because our feelings were hurt, our rights were violated, our efforts were unrecognized, that type of thing. Benjamin Franklin, remember that fella a few years back? He made an astute observation about anger when he said, "Whatever is begun in anger ends in shame." Man, he knew this stuff a long time ago. A couple hundred years or so, right? Like 250 about that time frame. Be aware that the devil will tempt you to sin in anger. Let me say this. Anger is more satanic than it is even human. Think about that. Anger is more satanic than it is just human nature. This is Satan's victory. Listen, get this, folks, get this with me. Anger is Satan's victory. When we're angry, we're giving him victory. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Y'all with me? Okay, good. All right, point number two. We're going to get into some of this. To stay in anger. Satan not only wants us to get angry with someone, but he wants us to stay angry. I talked about Jonathan tonight. I'm going to stay angry. This is why God commands us not to allow anger to linger in our hearts. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Let not the sun go down on your wrath." Wrath is defined as intense anger. Right? That's what that is. And it often has the idea of vengeance behind it. Okay? Here. Husbands and wives. Refusing to talk as a punishment one to another. Right? It's usually the wife, not the husband. Husbands don't usually do these. So I'm up here, so I get to say it. No. It goes both ways, right? I guess. No. So, The one hurts the other, and so the other says, I can't win an argument. Okay, that's where the guy comes in. And so, I'm just being funny a little bit. So he says, what I'm going to do, or he or she, I'm going to do is I'm going to get you back, but I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to give you the silent treatment. I'm going to make you pay for this. I'm going to punish you. Vengeance. That's what this wrath is. I'm going to punish you for what you did to me. That's what Jesus does. Man, aren't you glad? Because he'd be thumping us to dead. That's how Jesus, he wouldn't even need to thump. He'd just ground open up or something. Or Ananias and Sapphira. That's it, right? And so, listen, It is when we are angry and want to make someone pay for how they've hurt us. We want to punish them, and we feel like we have the right to do it. They deserve this. And I have the right. You hurt me. I have the right to do this. Because you hurt me, so now I have a right to hurt you back. That makes sense for the unsaved, doesn't it? That's actually how the world operates. Do we have a little bit of unsaved flesh still dwelling within us? Man, I hate that guy. Just want to stomp him and get rid of him and send him back to that fella up there. Not John, where he said, but, you know. A husband and a wife were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. A young acquaintance of theirs was engaged himself and asked them for the most helpful thing they had done over their 50 years of marriage. The husband replied, "We never go to sleep angry with each other." The young man was impressed thoroughly until the wife chimed in, "And the longest we ever had to stay awake was a week." Never be too proud to do what is necessary to not end a day with discord in your home or in your relationship. So I've had a policy in my marriage. I don't go to the doghouse. You ever heard the doghouse? I don't go to the doghouse. I've never gone to the doghouse. Never. I'm not in the doghouse. No. My wife is not happy with me, I am still sleeping in my bed. I'm not going to the couch. Never did I go to the couch. Never. I'm like, well, nope. We would, maybe pillow between us or something, but never. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I decided a long time, I'm not going to finish that by going. And I'm not saying we always nailed this thing, okay? We were perfect. I'm not going to say, but I never would go out to the couch because we're angry with each other. Now I go out to the couch because I can't sleep. That's a different deal. But, there's something about that to say, let's don't go to, okay, we're not getting along, I'm going to go to, he's out in the doghouse. The doghouse should not be a joke Christians make. Oh, you're in the doghouse? There is no doghouse in a Christian life. There's this place with the devil. That's not the doghouse. It's the victory of Satan. It's satanic is what's happening there. Yeah. Never be too proud to do what is necessary to not end the day. When we make it our habit to go to bed angry, there's no limit to the insane things that we may do. When we allow anger to seethe within us, it will boil over in so many other ways. And God wants to address He wants us to address these problems graciously instead of harboring hurts and becoming bitter. We're going to pick up there next week. And so I didn't quite get to where I wanted to, but I got a lot further than I'd expected. Amen. I'm going to try to keep this to, Lord willing, 3 weeks. Amen. Lord willing, a lot of pages. I'll do my best. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time this morning that we could be together here for Sunday school. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us in this terrible, terrible dart of Satan. That, Lord, we could build something in our lives that would prepare us for the hurts of this life. And Lord, have your will and way, and we'll give you thanks for it now in Jesus' name.